Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Live in Los Angeles on a Friday. Show after the draft, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Fame football coach, in 1 hour from now. You're going to have a very interesting day two of the draft tonight. A ton of running backs. Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin, sitting out there. God, I love that guy. Michael Pittman, wide receivers everywhere. I love that guy. We are just starting this draft. It's just one round's over. We got seven. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you this morning?
Oh, amazing. That was so fun last night.
It was. That was a two-cocktail first round of the draft. Justin Herbert, a new L.A. Charger. Oregon Duck will be joining us next hour. Let's start with this. So Green Bay drafts a quarterback, Jordan Love. And I know what a lot of people are saying. They're saying, hey, I mean, you know, Green Bay drafted Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre was still good. No, 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 no. Different situation. Aaron Rodgers, many thought there were arguments he could have been the best player in the draft, the number one pick. He turned out to be. But there were debates whether you should take him number one. He fell to Green Bay. Jordan Love is a debatable first-round quarterback. And they traded up over teams that weren't going to take him, we think, to get a quarterback. This is not the same thing. This is not the same thing. I want you to see it from Aaron Rodgers' point of view, regardless of what I think. So Aaron Rodgers plays the San Francisco 49ers twice last year. He's down 23-0 first half of the first game and 27-0 at half the second game. The games were over at half, outscored 50-0. Humiliated, manhandled. He watched last night the San Francisco 49ers, the team that has more good players. It's not real close. Go out and draft the first or second best defensive lineman to a defensive line that gave him fits, and then go get another good weapon. He's just hoping for a second wide receiver in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers isn't happy today, and you wouldn't be happy, and it's not fair to criticize Aaron Rodgers if he's a little prickly today. Happiness matters for your quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson feel supported. Supported matters. Aaron's the one taking the beatings in these football games against San Francisco. Now, I've said before, I've always thought that the Aaron Rodgers-Green Bay relationships, it's a weird fit. He is this good-looking Hollywood, California cool, glamorous guy in the NFL's smallest, least glamorous market. He pushes back on religion. That's God's country. Wisconsin likes their beer. He prefers scotch. He's a superstar in a market that a superstar struggles to leave the house and doesn't really attract superstars. The Midwest, they're nice. He can be a little aloof. Not being critical can be a little difficult. This is Joe Namath in Buffalo. Joe Namath in Buffalo doesn't work. Joe Namath had to be in New York. You can be in New York State if you're Joe Namath, but you can't be in Buffalo. Joe Namath had to be in New York. This is LeBron in Cleveland. Oh, wait, he left twice. It's always been an odd fit to me. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay has always been an odd fit. And after last night, knowing how good the NFC is, Minnesota's loaded in his division. Once Chicago gets the quarterback right, I love their coach. They got players. This now Green Bay Aaron Rodgers, at least from Aaron's side, and he won't say it publicly, he'll probably be a good soldier. They're just tolerating each other. Listen, Peyton Manning always felt loved in Indy. I mean, when they let him go, they cried. He cried, they cried. Drew Brees feels loved. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, loved. Sam Darnold's a baby. He didn't even win in games. They love him. The owner loves him. The GM loves him. Aaron Rodgers is in that class. They don't feel loved. Didn't feel supported. I mean, Green Bay's got just some innate disadvantages. They don't get free agents. And now you draft a backup quarterback. Just this rant is about how do you think it lands for Aaron? Regardless of what I think or what you think, how do you think it lands for him? Never forget this. In 2019, Bleacher Report had a writer, Tyler Dunn. He's on our show in the third hour. And he wrote an article with a lot of sources, some obviously in the building in Green Bay, one absolutely in the building, ripping Aaron Rodgers. And what did Green Bay do about it? Yeah, not much. That's a phony article. When ESPN the magazine had an article about Russell Wilson, remember that one? And there were some people taking shots at him, obviously on the Seahawks. What did they do? They got the players out of town. They didn't tolerate it. They didn't tolerate you ripping Russell Wilson anonymously. Pete Carroll and John Snyder got him out of the building. Bye-bye. Get out of here. And good players. Richard Sherman's a good player. Okay? You're out. Aaron got tagged. How do you think Aaron feels today? I'm going to go with this. He's pissed. He looks around. He's like, San Francisco's way better players, and they went out last night, and they got better receivers than I already do, and they got another one from Arizona State. And their defensive line tore us up, and they got another one. Aaron's in a Super Bowl window. The Aaron Rodgers is in that kind of Brady, Breeze, Mahomes now. They're in Super Bowl windows. They're not interested in being, you know, baseball wild card teams. You know, the Yankees put up, you know, they put up World Series banners. The Mets, wild card one year. Different franchises, different ideals. Aaron's in a Super Bowl window. Aaron needs help. They drafted a backup quarterback. Here's what the GM of the Green Bay Packers, in defending his move, and he's getting torn up a bit today, here's what he said.
You know, he's obviously been through this. You know, he's a pro, and I think it's you know, it's certainly this is something that is a long-term decision. I think when you go through kind of the way things went tonight, you kind of you ran the short-term and the long-term, and we got the best quarterback in the National Football League, and we plan to have him for a while competing for championships. So I can understand, you know, the fan base and people thinking kind of why would you do this at this time. But I just think the value of our board and the way it's at, it was the best thing for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, we're really excited to get Jordan here and get him into our system.
Well, it wasn't the best thing for Green Bay today. You know, it may be the best thing for Green Bay in 4 years, but it's not the best thing for Green Bay today. And Aaron Rodgers, he's playing today. Aaron Rodgers is taking the beatings today. Aaron Rodgers trails 23-0 and 27-0 at half to San Francisco today. He's not interested in you putting money in a 401k. He's like, baby, let's go to Vegas. Put it on black and white. Black and red. I need money now. I need money now. I need cash. I need players. I need help now. This ain't about a 401k. Let me shift to the Dallas Cowboys, who got a little heat last night. The Cowboys' 17th pick picked up wide receiver C.D. Lamb. Now, C.D. is going to be a productive player in Dallas. I mean, you can't double him. They got Amari Cooper. They got Michael Gallup. They got Zeke. I mean, you know, you ain't doubling him. A little drag route underneath. He's going to be productive. But Dallas already has 2,000-yard receivers. Dallas' defense was bad last year. They lost their safety, their best corner, and they lost Robert Quinn, who was their sack leader. It wasn't a move exactly addressing their needs. And it was funny on TV last night. I was with my buddy watching. He came over last night. Social distancing. Each had a cocktail 10 feet away. And we're watching it, and everybody's trying to guess the pick. They think they took a safety. And they're showing Jerry Jones and then his daughter, the beautiful and talented and brilliant Charlotte Jones, and they're all high-fiving and laughing. And I turned to my friend and I said, he ain't get a safety. Jerry Jones ain't that happy over a safety. Jerry's on his yacht, and I'm like, that's not a safety reaction. They just went and got somebody who scores touchdowns. Sure enough, it's CeeDee Lamb. You don't celebrate like that because you got a safety. They were like, Mike McCarthy was grinning. Everybody's laughing. Oh, my God, we got woo-hoo-hoo. You don't do that over a safety. You do that over a guy who played a nearby Big 12 when Mike McCarthy knows, I got another weapon. I got another guy. How about them Cowboys? But let me defend Dallas here. Let me defend them. The NFL's changed. The rules have changed. The league has changed. We all banged on the Raiders for getting rid of Khalil Mack. He was a non-factor last year. You know who was better than Khalil Mack of the Bears last year? Josh Jacobs, rookie running back. Oakland. Why? Because if you're going to roll the dice, roll it on offensive players. You go look at last two drafts. Who are the players who are way better than their draft slot? Lamar Jackson, offensive player. Josh Jacobs. Mark Andrews, tight end Baltimore. DK Metcalf. You start looking the last two or three drafts as all these rules have changed. Can't touch anybody. And the players that massively exceed expectations, they're not defensive guys. They're all offensive guys. So Dallas is saying, listen, we're not going to let the Philadelphia Eagles get an Oklahoma Sooner from the Big 12. There's no way, because Oklahoma, you know, that's Dallas Cowboy territory. And Jerry's sitting there thinking on his yacht, I'm gonna give this to Philadelphia? I'm going to watch CeeDee Lamb, now that Byron Jones has gone, roast our corners? I'm not going to do it. So it was part of that. And Dallas has actually drafted, like, really good players on defense. They still can't stop anybody. They still can't stop anybody. The truth is, folks, who can stop anybody? It's if you're going to draft and you're going on a safety or a wide receiver, I got to tell you, the current NFL, I'm going wide receiver. I've never even been a fan of wide receivers. I call them icing on a cake. Now, you know, if you have a cake, there's a cake and there's icing. But sometimes you put some icing in between the layers of the cake. That's what's happened to wide receivers. They're now at least layered in the cake. They matter more. The rules changed. So I can bag on Dallas for getting a receiver and they didn't need one. But I'm looking at the draft the last couple of years. CeeDee Lamb's going to give you 800 yards, 700 yards. I mean, whatever he does. Safety? You're not celebrating on a yacht like that getting a safety. They don't matter as much. Not in this league, not in this time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So the Green Bay Packers had to give away a pick to move up to get the fourth best quarterback when they've already got a Hall of Famer. The Chargers and the Dolphins got better quarterback prospects and didn't have to trade up. And they don't have franchise quarterbacks. Just think about that. Green Bay's got a star, got the fourth best quarterback, and had to give a pick to get him. The winners last night to me were Miami and the Chargers. They didn't have to give up any picks, forego their future. And they got their quarterback. I mean, clearly Miami was more Tua than Herbert because they picked first. And they took him. And clearly the Chargers, there was a lot of rumors. But if they were worried about Tua, they got Justin Herbert. And they didn't have to give anything up. And then they got a great linebacker later. So here's the way I look at it. Where did you land? So we know the Chargers is a perfect situation. Loaded roster, bunch of weapons, great GM, warm weather city, West Coast kid stays west. He's joining us in an hour, by the way. West Coast kid stays west. It's perfect. And he can learn from a real pro, Tyrod Taylor, a grown-up, for a year, no pressure, great roster. So we know how this game works. Lamar Jackson going, oh, I can sit behind Flacco. I got a great coach. I got a great owner. I got a great GM. We got a good roster. We know how the game works. Where you land matters. Herbert, it's perfect. Literally, only thing we don't know is Anthony Lynn a great coach. We don't know that. He did get him to a playoff. He did get him to the AFC playoffs, and they won a game in the playoffs. So there's something there. We know he's pretty good, right? To get to the playoffs, you're not incompetent. But outside of that, everything else we know. They got the GM, they got the roster, they got the players. They needed a quarterback. Didn't have to trade anything. He's got no baggage, 4-point student, no injuries. Let's look at Miami. Now, Joe Burrow's going to a bad roster, potentially the fourth best coach, the cheapest owner, and a history of losing. And good God, is Cleveland, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh's defensive fronts frightening. But here's Tua. And you say to yourself, well, Tua's going to a rebuilding job. Tua, no, he's not. No, he's not. Tua is in a much easier division. He doesn't face Lamar in Baltimore. He's not going to face Cleveland's roster. He's not going to face Big Ben in Pittsburgh and Mike Thomas Super Bowls. No. Tom Brady's gone. Sam Darnold, we don't know. Josh Allen's still young. So Miami gets Tua, doesn't have to trade up to get their guy, and clearly it's their guy because they could have taken either Tua or Justin Herbert. And in free agency, they've now Byron Jones, Kyle Van Noy, Jordan Howard, Shaq Lawson, last night starting left tackle, and a corner. And they have 12 picks left. So by the end of this weekend, Tua's playing on a much, much better roster than Cincinnati in a much easier division, and he doesn't have to start for a year. So the winners of the draft to me are the Chargers and the Dolphins. When you don't have to trade, everybody has to trade up for picks, for quarterbacks, right? Like, isn't that the rule? They didn't have to. One, Herbert gets a loaded roster. The other, Tua, by the end of the weekend, is going to have a significantly better roster than Joe Burrow. So it is Justin Herbert 1 hour from now. When you're looking for a franchise quarterback and you can get the guy you want and you don't have to give up anything and you don't even have to start him, you got a pro, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor. That's the perfect way it works. That's Mahomes with Alex Smith. You know what I mean? The difference is they had to give away picks to get him, but that's what you're praying for. Burrow's going to start day one, game one. In that division, Ravens twice, Steelers twice, Browns defense twice. Good luck. And I think Joe's talented. I like Joe Burrow. I do. B+. Like him. But watch out. Tua, Herbert, better situations, day one, and that stuff matters.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I thought the Green Bay move to get Jordan Love was interesting. I understand protecting yourself for the future, but they traded away a draft pick to move ahead of Seattle. Well, Seattle's got Russell Wilson. They weren't taking Jordan Love. And to move ahead of Baltimore, they ain't taking Jordan Love. They got Lamar Jackson. And ahead of Tennessee, which just signed Ryan Hill to a contract extension. So I didn't really get it. And I also think here's something about it. I think you have to win your division first. When Nick Saban's building Alabama, you got to win the SEC before you can worry about the playoffs. Steve Spurrier used to always say that. I'm building to win the SEC. What happens later. But I got to win the SEC. And so, like, Arizona takes Isaiah Simmons. Why do they take him? Because they got Russell Wilson in that division. So they got to find somebody that can chase around Russell Wilson for the next 7 years. And if you look at the Steelers and you look at teams that are going to face Lamar Jackson, you better have linebackers that can run to chase Lamar Jackson. I think you have to win your division. So Green Bay is in a division with Minnesota. Minnesota's got an excellent coach, Mike Zimmer. And I think Minnesota's got a tremendous front office. They draft very well. And I think Minnesota's got a better roster today than Green Bay does. And so Green Bay's got to keep pace, let's be honest, with Minnesota. So Minnesota's already got a top running back. They've already got two excellent tight ends. Adam Thielen, a star receiver, and a star wide receiver, and a very capable quarterback. So they got the running back, two tight ends, they got a star receiver. Then last night, they go out this roster and get another receiver and a starting corner from TCU. And they got a second-round pick and two-thirds. So Minnesota could get five players, multiple starters. Green Bay drafted a backup. And they need wide receiver help. And they need offensive line help. And they need linebacker help. I didn't love it as an in-division move. You know, you got to play your division. You got to play those teams twice. Winning at Minnesota is tough. And Minnesota travels particularly well, I think. Well-coached teams with efficient quarterbacks generally travel okay. So I didn't love the idea that Green Bay, I think, isn't quite as good top to bottom as Minnesota as a roster. Well, Minnesota last night got two starters, two perimeter starters, and Green Bay got a backup. And then they got a second-round pick today, and they got two-thirds. And Green Bay not only didn't address a need in the first round, they gave up a fourth-rounder. So after the fourth round, I don't really care about your picks much. I mean, it really is. Once you get a bunch of six, you're just trying to trade up and make that a four or a three. You know, first round, you should get a star. Second, third round, you should get starters. But I just thought as an in-division move, I didn't love it. I think Minnesota, that drafts well, got better last night. They got faster. They got a burner at corner and a super talented slot receiver. And Green Bay got a backup. I didn't love it. But, you know, I mean, this draft stuff is, I mean, the Raiders last year did a bunch of stuff in the draft, and we all went, that's weird, and they ended up having a really good draft. I mean, they got Hunter Renfrow in the fifth round. They got a pass rusher in the fourth round that had a bunch of sacks. So, I mean, again, we don't know who did well in the draft. I tend to, on Mondays after the draft, I rate the 10 best drafts, and I include free agency and the draft. And I've predicted, I think Miami's going to do really well because they have so much salary cap to play with. They did in free agency, and they got so much draft capital. Jimmy Johnson's going to be on Fox Football Now Monday at 11 Eastern on FS1. So let me just start with this. You used to coach the Cowboys. They have a lot of needs, most of them defensively, but they go and get a wide receiver, a very, very good wide receiver. Did that bother you at all, Jimmy?
No, it just looks like they're going to try to outscore people because obviously they needed some defensive help. But, you know, with CeeDee Lamb, you know, he is really an outstanding player, a spectacular player. And they'd been following him for quite some time. And so when he came available, I'm sure they jumped on it and bypassed the defensive player.
Jimmy, could I make an argument that with the rules now in place over the last 2 to 3 drafts, the players that have been drafted and surprised us were much better than we thought and better early? It's been a lot of Lamar Jacksons. It's been Josh Allens. It's been Josh Jacobs. It's been offensive guys that the rules now dictate. If you can go either way, you maybe want to lean offense, and maybe it's just an offensive league. Could I make that argument for Dallas?
I think it has gone that way, Colin, you know, really for the last few years because of the rule changes. Back in the old day, you know, run the football, play great defense, you know, don't give up a lot of points,
right.
Don't turn it over. But we've seen some teams extremely successful the last few years that were marginal on defense.
Yeah.
And didn't run the ball a whole lot and threw it all over the field and scored a lot of points. And so I think because the rule changes, you know, you're probably right in that, you know, you got to be offensively minded, you know, to win in this league. And the number one thing, actually one thing that hasn't changed, Bill Belichick was on my boat a few years ago and he said, we were talking about the players and I said, with these rule changes, I said, you know, I've always said, you know, the quarterback is the guy. I said, you know, but you know who the second most important guy is? He said, no. Yeah. I said, you know, the second most important guy is your backup quarterback. So it goes quarterback, quarterback. It is a quarterback-driven league. If you've got a franchise quarterback, a guy that can make plays, then you can kind of support him with some of those receivers and, you know, with a running back, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to have the quarterback.
You know, so Green Bay has needs. They need offensive line. I thought last year was a little shaky. They need another wide receiver. I still think defensively they have some needs, and they get a backup quarterback. What bothered me, Jimmy, how does it land with Aaron Rodgers? I mean,
I think he's comfortable in his position. I don't dislike the move because, you know, they saw an opportunity to get a quarterback that they are very high on and let him develop. And the receivers that they might need, you know, they can pick them up in the second and third round. This is a deep, you know, draft as far as receivers. And so, you know, I'm sure they're looking at some receivers in the second and third round.
Yeah, and you think Aaron, I mean, we know Brady didn't love Garoppolo hovering over him. It's one of those things, as a coach, you know, you would have drafted somebody behind Aikman if you thought he was a steal.
Well, I did. I did Steve Walsh. And so, now that caused a little bit of tension with
sure.
Troy. But I don't think it's going to cause any kind of tension with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers obviously is a extremely, as you know, confident individual with a big ego. And so I don't think he's going to be threatened by some rookie.
Now, by the way, did you approach Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Fame coach, did you approach each round differently? Because you were a master at this stuff.
You know what I did, Colin, is I identified 3 or 4 players in each round that I wanted to target and I wanted to get. And obviously, if one of those 2 or 3 players weren't picked in the previous round, I dropped them to the top of the next round. But I had a handful of players that I wanted to coach. You know, and You know, coaches that have come down and visited with me over the years, they say that's one of the best things. Says, you know, because, you know, some players are going to be successful in our system that might not be successful in a different system. By the same token, there's some great players on other teams that we don't want. And so you got to identify, you know, who fits into your system, who fits into your culture. And really, you know, obviously you scout, you know, all these, you know, 500 or 600 players. But then you narrow it down and you pick about 15 players that you want to come out with 7 or 8 of those players out of this draft.
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson joining us. So, you know, character issues we always hear about, right? And where do you fall? The Raiders got a corner. Earlier Peter Schrager said a couple of teams took the Ohio State corner off the board. They had character issues. I always understood teams take injury. They have injury flag guys you just take off your board. Jimmy, what if you love a player and he was a little bit of a jerk in college to teammates? How do you land on that stuff?
I think you've got to know him. You know, like for me, I always graded my scouts and I graded my coaches on how they evaluated players. I had one particular scout that, hey, if he was jaywalking, he was going to cross him off the board. Yeah, and by the same token, I had some coaches. The guy could have been a serial killer, and he said, "Hey, yeah, let's take a chance."
Yeah.
You know, so you have to know your scouts. You have to know your coaches and their evaluation. But more than anything else, you've got to know the player. You've got to, you know, there are going to be some players that have had some transgressions, that have made some mistakes early in their career, and maybe in high school, that you're going to say, hey, I can understand
right. That,
you know. And so you've got to know what the character issue is. Now, is he a bad person? Is he going to be a bad team player? Is he going to take away from the team concept? Well, then, hey, then you move away from him. But if he made a mistake and he's overcome it and he's a good person, you know, you take a chance on him.
Jimmy Johnson joining us. 2 Super Bowl championships, a college football national title in 1987. Just an all-time great coach. This past year, inducted emotionally into the Hall of Fame, and we all witnessed that. So, Belichick has lost several good players, hasn't replaced them. Gronk leaves. He could have gotten a tight end from Tampa. They got 3. He took a pick. He's accumulating a stockpile of 25 picks in the next 2 years. And he could have had Teddy Bridgewater. He could have had tight ends from Tampa. Boy, Jimmy, I don't mean to be cynical, but it looks like he's stockpiling picks for a big move, maybe for a college quarterback in a year.
Well, I don't know. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
About in a year. I don't know if he's going to be able. He's not going to have bad enough record to get that player.
But what if he has enough picks that he's
to move up?
He gives somebody 9 picks, Jimmy.
It's going to be interesting to see how Stidham does. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if he picks up a veteran quarterback, which could happen. But you know, the thing about it, you know, he's got some players that he's identified that he's going to be able to pick up in the second and third round, and really, you know, some of those second and third rounders turn out to be, you know, really spectacular players, and players that fit into his system. It'll be interesting to see. I do believe this. I think the AFC East now, it's wide open.
Yes,
with Brady out and with. You might say New England rebuilding a little bit, and with Buffalo with their resurgence, and with the Dolphins, they should be a lot better. It's going to be an interesting division.
Yeah, I kind of like what Brian Flores is doing. I mean, you live in the Keys. I got to tell you, I watched Brian Flores, Jimmy, and he's first of all, he got rid of some expensive guys. He got a veteran quarterback who's a smart guy, competes. They accumulate draft picks. They spend a lot of draft capital on cornerbacks, which I know you liked him, and I know Belichick
does.
So it looks like to me when I look at Miami, Jimmy, they didn't have to trade any picks to get their quarterback. It feels like they're pretty close. That you know, guys like you and Parcells, you turn stuff around in 18 months. I think Miami's closer than people think to being really competitive, Jimmy.
I agree with you, Colin. I look at the way they played with, you know, without their best defensive back, you know, there at the end of the year, you know, with just a makeshift football team. I look at the way they played at the end of the year, and you add the players that they have added this offseason and through the draft, they're going to be a competitive team. I mean, it's going to be interesting just to see. It's going to be interesting to see if Tua, you know, how quick he jumps into the lineup.
Would you be worried to play him early, Coach, with that hip?
Yeah, I would be. I'd be concerned. And plus, you know, with old Fitzmagic, you know, you never can tell. He'd love to make some things happen there early. I do believe this. He will be a great mentor, you know, for Tua. I mean, to have him, I mean, everybody, you know, he's one of the smartest, not only players, but individuals walking. And he will be a great, great mentor for, you know, for Tua.
Yeah. I wonder, would you keep Fitzpatrick around for a second year just to be a mentor?
Good, you know, and, you know, with Chan Gailey, Chan, you know, has worked with him before, so he knows the system, you know, they're on the same page. I think that's a good matchup, you know, with, you know, Fitzpatrick and with Chan Gailey and now with Tua coming on.
Well, you know, Terry Bradshaw came on yesterday and he had a song for us, so I don't expect you to.
He has played that song 15 times in my ear.
We don't expect you to have a song, although you're a fisherman. Have you gone out fishing yet today?
Not today, but I will probably in the next couple of days. Hey, with this social isolation, you know, and social distance, I can really have my distance from people about 20 miles offshore.
Hey, one more. So you basically ran your draft and were a personnel expert. But I've got this theory that when Tom went down to Tampa and he talked to Jason Light, I don't think it would be out of bounds for Tom to say, listen, I'm 43. I don't want to get the you-know-what kicked out of me. You got to address that O-line. And that he could say, Jason, can you look O-line first pick? Because, by the way, they moved up and got the best right tackle available. Is that the way? Do you think that's possible that Brady told them, listen, I would come here, but I'm worried about your O-line? Would that be possible?
I think without question. You know, actually, Jason worked for me. He was one of my scouts when I was with the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, I've visited with him two or three different times. There's no question he's the type of individual that would take suggestions, you know, from Tom Brady. You know, really, you know, Tom's more experienced than half the coaches in this league. You know, and so, you know, you ought to use some of that knowledge.
Jimmy, you know, I just love having you on. You're a busy guy, and I just, you're so kind to our show, and I appreciate it.
Well, Colin, I will leave you with this. Little quarantine magic.
Little quarantine crazy?
Quarantine crazy. You know, he got that from Tammy. Tammy says, boy, this is quarantine crazy. Terry says, man, that sounds like a song. Let me put some words to
it. He did. And he did a good job. Good talking to you, Coach.
All right, Colin. Okay, have a good day.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So here's another story. Let me look here. At the first round. Oh, look at that team and that team. It's funny. I can't. Wait. Where's New England? Well, I know New England started the night with a first round pick. Hold on a second. Let me double check. Minnesota, LA, New Orleans, Green Bay. Where's New England? I am almost sure. Oh, I am. They had a first round pick when the night started and they traded out of it. Isn't that fascinating? So they have all sorts of needs. They didn't address any in free agency. They traded Gronk. Tampa Bay has three tight ends now. They didn't want one of them. Just give us picks. They lost their kicker, their two best linebackers, Kyle Van Noy. Just losing people. Tom Brady. They've never addressed any of those. That's so interesting as their division gets better. They're accumulating draft picks. Got a pick for Gronk, not a player. not addressed one of their needs, and they traded out of the first round last night. I told you yesterday, so you know my theory on this. They're not tanking. Some of you dullards can't get this past. It's not tanking. Miami was pissed when people said they were tanking this year. They're not. They're competing. But Bill Belichick is moving a lot of players out and getting picks, so they go 7-9, 6-10. They have the eighth pick. And the truth is, in this league, if you just do basic homework, Joy and I have talked about this, after since he got Burrow, Miami got Tua, the Chargers get Justin Herbert, that's three more teams that don't need a franchise quarterback. Green Bay's even got their backup. I think the Colts are going to take Jacob Eason today. They got their guy. The truth is, the bottom four or five teams in the league next year outside of Jacksonville don't need a quarterback. They don't. They don't. So my point is, if you're 6-10 or 7-9 and have the seventh pick, they're going to have, right now, New England has 13 picks this year and 10 minimum next year. Watch them move some of their picks this year to next year. Watch them do it. Watch them do it. What are they doing? It's obvious. It's not tanking. They're going to have 15 picks next year. They already have 10, counting the compensatory picks for Brady, Jamie Collins, and Van Noy. And they're going to go to a team and say, here's eight picks. You can move up in the draft if you're willing to give a bad team eight picks. I think the New York Giants are going to be a bad team this year. New coach, young quarterback. But they're not going to draft a quarterback. You go to the New York Giants and say, here, seven picks. You don't think Joe Judge, a friend of Belichick, wouldn't take seven picks in a rebuilding job? Of course he would. Think about it. Take Jacksonville out. They're a bad, needed quarterback. I think Cincinnati's going to be bad this year. One-year-old coach and a new quarterback, tough division. Cincinnati ends up 5-11. You don't think in a rebuilding mode, Zach Taylor wouldn't go to his GM? They're offering eight picks. They don't need a quarterback. They got Burrow. So if you start looking at the teams next year, I think Arizona could struggle in that division. Don't need a quarterback. Cincinnati could struggle. Don't need a quarterback. New York Giants struggle. Don't need a quarterback. You start looking at the teams that could struggle next year. Tennessee will be good. Jacksonville, they need a quarterback. You don't have to just get Trevor Lawrence. You could get Justin Fields. But it seems to me we're seeing things now that New England's never done. They haven't addressed a single need in free agency. They are desperate for a tight end. Last night, they're in a spot to get a tight end. Nah, let's trade out of it. Okay, we'll take Gronk. Have him. Give us a pick. You want one of ours? No, just picks. Really? Really? When somebody's done something their whole life and then they stop doing it, aren't you a little suspicious? Be honest to me, guys. Let's say you're married. She comes home from work every night. Oh, once, twice a month, she'll go out with a girlfriend and have a glass of wine and a salad. And then all of a sudden, she didn't show up one night. You and the kids are, mom never shows up. Find out her ex flames in town. Seem a little weird to you? Really? Not suspicious a little? Where'd my wife go? Honey, I had to stay at work really, really late. We had to, it's tax season. No, it's not. It's December. Anywho, I'll be home tomorrow. When people start doing stuff they've never done, their habits change. Yeah, a little. You know, what? You don't think they have a plan? Their plan's Jarrett Stidham. All right. You know the old saying, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Come on. It's not tough to figure out.